Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
We just keep on rolling, Tampa Bay. Backup goaltender, no problem. Third string goaltender, AHL journeyman, no problem. Your first place Tampa Bay Lightning. Well, we just keep on winning. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, right here. JoeBucksFan.com, iTunes, Google Play. And it's brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. I'm pretty fired up, Tampa Bay, on this Thursday, December the 6th, the year of our Lord, 2018. We got a big game against Boston tonight, a big week ahead of us on the ice, but so much has happened in the past, 6 days? As I said last week, this is an early edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I'm heading down to the Tampa area, just getting away for a couple of days. Going to the beach, going to hear some waves crash against the shore for a couple of nights of R&R as football season is over with the day job. And I'm going to catch the Bucks game on Sunday. I'll be at the Ray J to watch Bucks and Saints. In fact, at the end of this here Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, I'll give you a bonus 5-10 minutes of Bucks coverage and some of my thoughts on what's going on right now. It's a positive time for the Buccaneers, and you don't have to listen to it. I'm not going to take away from any of our Tampa Bay Lightning talk time. This is not going to eat into that budget. It's just extra stuff. If you don't want to hear it, then it's therapy for me. No big deal. But the Tampa Bay Lightning could have procured 6 points since we last spoke. Is that right? Is it 6 or 8 points? Well, whatever it is, we got all of them. We procured every single last one of them. It was 6 points. The Panthers, the Devils, and the Red Wings. We played games Saturday night against Florida, down 4-1. Ain't no thing. Come all the way back and win that puppy in overtime on the strength of a Braden Point overtime marker, primary assistant Nikita Kucherov. Monday night, the continued dominance of the New Jersey Devils. They won the season series from us a year ago. People were worried about that heading into the playoffs. I wasn't. We got into the playoffs, took care of business, and it's been an extension of that ever since. We beat New Jersey 5-1, and then Tuesday night, second of a back-to-back, we played Detroit with Eddie Pasquale making his NHL debut after 230-plus games in the AHL. A career backup slash minor league netminder. He finally gets his crack in the show, so to speak. At the NHL level, he looked every bit as shaky and nervous and lacking as you might have thought, but it doesn't matter. We come back from several deficits, win this game 6-5 in the shootout, thanks to a marker from Nikita Kucherov. And I thought I heard it in the stands. I thought I heard it in Tampa Bay. Let's see if you hear the chants. No, those aren't MVP chants. That's Eddie P. Eddie P. Eddie P. That's what I was saying, yelling at my TV screen. It's such a luxury for Tampa Bay, given that we win so many games, and it's been a multi-year run of this. I mean, soak it up while we have it. It's not always going to be this good, but you can expect most any night these last 5 seasons that we're going to win a hockey game, and you're going to be right a lot of the time. It's a very unstressful period of time in Tampa Bay Lightning history. If you're just talking about the regular season, we win a lot of hockey games. And so we're afforded a luxury that when a lifetime backup, somebody who was drafted by the Atlanta Thrashers in 2009, gone through multiple surgeries, I think I read it was 2 hip surgeries, 2 separate ones, has been a backup at the AHL level, still a decent payday, but not quite, you know, the big time payday that is the National Hockey League. Somebody who's that committed, he gets a crack at it for the first time. We have the luxury of just sitting back and enjoying that game. It was a wild hockey game, but I was rooting for the Lightning harder than I usually do between October and April because I wanted 2 points for this guy. Eddie Pasquale is a winning netminder in the NHL. Sure, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but if you think about it, everybody who's ever played the game of hockey at any level and been paid for it, their goal is to get to the NHL. He's got a story that he can tell his kids, his grandkids, anybody who will listen. I played one night against the Detroit Red Wings. And you know what? They got up early on us. And we got to the shootout. I didn't play great at all. But I made two big saves in the shootout. And then remember that guy, Nikita Kucherov? Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, I played with him that night. Actually, I was with that team for a couple of weeks. Remember Victor Hedman, another Hall of Famer? Remember that guy, kids? Yeah, I played with him too. You did? I did. And we got 2 points that night. Go check the box score. Go to hockeyreference.com. There it is. There's my name right there. That's what sports is all about. Those types of opportunities. I love it when a pitcher in baseball, he's a journeyman. Or like the Crash Davis type player in Bull Durham, career minor leaguer. He's a quad A player in baseball. And he gets his cup of coffee because the rosters expand and it's September and the team's out of it. But it doesn't matter to that guy what the team's record is. He's getting to live his dream. Eddie Pasquale got to live his dream on Tuesday night and came away with a win. And we worked our butts off to go get that win for him. If you look at the shot disparity in the first period where we had a couple of blown coverages, giveaways, the second goal that Detroit scores is a no-chancer for Eddie because Tyler Johnson turns it over behind the net. He's attempting to make a pass right in front of the net. It goes off a Red Wing skate right out in front, middle of the slot. No chance. Second goal, Detroit. But we took care of business in the final 40 in that game, also in overtime, working our butts off to get this guy a win. And we did it. That's one of my favorite moments in the last 5-10 years of watching Tampa Bay Lightning hockey, is a guy like Eddie Pasquale, who did every little thing he could to get a crack at the big leagues. He gets the call, and he gets the win. Might not be his last chance either. We'll have an update for you in a little bit on Andrei Vasilevskiy. I got some intel plus John Cooper's comments today after practice morning skate on Thursday, December the 6th. But good news, spoiler alert for Andrei Vasilevskiy. But maybe Eddie gets a chance where he's not so nervous, and maybe he makes a couple of more big saves than he certainly did on Tuesday night. But what an awesome story. And let's hear that chant again, because I think it sounds somewhat similar, but maybe just a little bit different. No, those aren't MVP chants. Those are SETI P chants. SETI P. I've been holding off on this one because, as a lot of you have noted, especially last year, before the playoffs started and then the first round against New Jersey, I have kind of a vendetta against Cedric Paquette because he's not a smart hockey player. He's more of a liability than he is an asset. Sure, he plays a tough brand, and we don't have enough of that on the team, but if you play a tough brand and it's not smart, well then, really, are you getting a net effect that's positive or negative? But you know what? All the credit in the world to Cedric Paquette for what he's doing the way he's playing right now. Full of confidence, kind of like when he first got called up some years back and he scored goals left and right. You knew it wasn't sustainable that he was on whatever it was, like a 30-40 goal pace when he first started with us. I think it was the second half of the year, probably in 2015. It's been some time now. But he's red hot and playing smart hockey on top of it. And that's the key. He scored 4 goals in his last 6 games. Including some big ones, the game winner against Buffalo last week, a huge one against Detroit on Tuesday, had another one against Florida on Saturday. Cedric Paquette has been in the mix as one of our better players. It's a lot of fun right now when, as a Lightning franchise, you can take a look at the minutes disparity and see how deep we are as a roster. We've got 3 players who skate over 20 minutes a night. Not coincidentally, they're all defensemen. It's McDonough, Strawman, who's hurt right now, and Victor Hedman. None of those guys skate for over 23 minutes a night, so you're not putting too much of a tax on them. You're not relying on them to win. And then with the forwards, of anybody who's playing any meaningful amount of games, so that means I'm throwing out Corey Konecker's 1 game, if you take a look at our season stats, all of the forwards are playing between 11 and 17 minutes, with only one playing over 17:59, and that's Nikita Kucherov, who's at 18 and a half minutes a game. You've got depth across the board. This will pay dividends as we get down the stretch and into the playoffs. Nobody is really being taxed. And you have the fourth line to thank for a lot of this. Cedric Paquette, Ryan Callahan, Adam Ernie, JT Miller when he was with it, Matthew Joseph, whoever is rotating on that fourth line, they're getting a lot of minutes because they deserve a lot of minutes. They're not liabilities. They're good in the defensive zone. They're not taking too many penalties. Does this mean I suddenly trust Cedric Paquette? No. Not as far as I can throw him. And I haven't worked out in a while. I need to get back doing that. I don't trust Ceddie P, but I really enjoy the way he's playing right now. And if he continues to do so, we're in business. Was talking bolts with my friend Tyler down in St. Pete this past week, and he makes a great point, and I totally agree with him, which is Andre Vasilevsky has been out for 12 games. We've won 9 of those games, and we're not really relying on one person to get it done in the scoring department. We're not relying on one line to get it done in the scoring department. That says that we are an elite hockey club and a cup favorite. Of course we are. The full takeaway is not breaking news, but if you look at the way we are succeeding in Tampa Bay, this is a great sign. As long as we remain healthy, we are doing the little things it takes to win. Consider what I said about Eddie Pasquale. This was a team effort to go get the job done, especially those final 40 minutes. Detroit had somewhere closer to 10 shots in the final 40 minutes. We fight through it in overtime as well. We understood what we had to do, what we had to commit to in order to give ourselves a chance. Did he wave and miss it a couple of shots? Yes, he did. He didn't play well at all. And in fact, it's not like he was on cloud nine when the game was over. He said to John Cooper in a moment behind the bench where we just came off the ice victors, he told John Cooper, I guess Tampa's about the only place in the world you can let up 5 and expect to win. And that's kind of true. He was not pleased with his performance. But even still, we worked hard as a team to get that win. We didn't quit down 4-1 against the Panthers last weekend. We took care of business on Monday against New Jersey. And that's an angry Devils team that had lost a few in a row, and they came out and they took it to us the first 5 to 10 minutes. It looked like we were kind of going through the motions a little bit. But we fought through that, asserted ourselves, and dominated the hockey game. All signs are positive right now. If you look at scoring, we are far and away the highest scoring team in the league. We average over 3.8 goals per game. Nobody else is even averaging 3.7. When you get through about 30 hockey games, that's a big damn deal. The depth of the organization in terms of its minor league system, that's showing as well. Eric Chernak is a top 4 defenseman already. He's getting top 4 minutes. He's playing with Ryan McDonough most of the time. Sergachev, who was the star of last year, is a number 5 or a number 6 defenseman in this system right now. We've got youth. We've got depth. We are in position, knock on wood, without the injury bug being too much of a bugaboo, of being as fresh as you can be for the postseason. We're putting ourselves in prime position. And we've got a lot of big hockey games between now and the next time we talk. A lot of big tests. I look forward to the week ahead. It should be really interesting on the ice, starting tonight with Boston. Boston's lost 3 of 4, and the three losses, in those last 4 games have been to division opponents, all in regulation. They lost to Toronto. They lost to Detroit. They lost to Florida. And on Tuesday night, Florida beat them 5-0. Should be an angry bunch coming to Tampa Bay tonight. On Saturday, we play Colorado, one of the most entertaining teams in hockey. Talked about them a couple of months ago. The buzz around Colorado was strong in early October, and the hype is real. They are now threatening for first place in Nashville's division. They've got a dynamic duo that matches the likes of a Braden Point and a Nikita Kucherov, with Nathan MacKinnon, who's having an MVP-type year, and Mikko Rantanen, who leads the league in scoring. That Saturday night should be a really good game. Monday night, we play the New York Rangers. That might be a bit of an off night for us, but if we take it too lightly, that's a Rangers team that somebody's got to win that division over there on the other side. Why not the Rangers? So they're going to come to town hungry. And then Thursday, the last of this 4-game homestand, and we have 4 full games between the next time, between now and the next time I talk to you. Toronto, and here you go. Nylander is back. They have the full complement of offensive firepower at their disposal. Matthews, Nylander, among others. They're coming to town next Thursday to Amalie. That's a puck drop shortly after 7:30 p.m. All right. We have done everything we can possibly do to this point of the season. You don't want to be playing your best hockey right now, but we certainly are playing the best hockey in the NHL. The news and notes part of today's program, followed by some Buccaneers talk. That, after this, a word from Bill Curry Ford, who supports Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. I say it every week, but I mean it. If they're on the short list that you're considering, and you need something to push one over the other in terms of dealerships in Tampa Bay, Bill Curry Ford is supporting this podcast. I'm very grateful for them, or to them, for doing that. And so we'll take a brief break. Here's a short word from Bill Curry Ford. News and notes, an update on Andre Vasilevsky, his health, contract situations, the salary cap, and then some thoughts on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts Fan, Joe Bucks Fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Back on the JoeBoltzFan.com podcast, this is St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Hint, if you hear this today and you want to do something tonight, hear a good band, play some live music at Janice Live in St. Pete, St. Paul's doing it. They're not paying me to say that. I'm going to be there. I can't wait. And I'm going to let St. Paul play underneath the news and notes section of this week's Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Andre Vasilevsky, according to John Cooper after practice today, well, he's not skating yet, and even when he comes back, it may be some time before he's ready for game action. That isn't the opposite of what I'm hearing around the club, and sometimes I will get intel and sometimes I won't. But I'm telling you, the word I'm hearing around Tampa Bay is that Andre Vasilevsky is ahead of schedule, not behind schedule. You might say to yourself, Tom, what is the schedule? All right, well, the middle part of last month, the timetable for Vasilevsky's return was 4 to 6 weeks. I'm hearing he's on the front end of that timeline. If Tampa wants to be careful with him, we've won 9-12 without Andre Vasilevsky in net. So that's fine by me. But good news here. There's no setback so far, knock on wood. Everything appears to be progressing faster than they thought with Andre. I would treat him with kid gloves too, though, personally. So even though John Cooper says today after practice on Thursday, December 6th, that it still might be some time, everybody's happy with where he's at. Anton Strahlman still can't get an answer on this guy, unfortunately. That's not a good sign. Read between the lines. He's got some big kind of injury that they're sorting through. I mean, they thought he was day-to-day from the very beginning of the time he suffered the injury that was around the end of October against Vegas, and he's still not back. Victor Hedman is starting to look more like himself on the ice. I thought he's been timid since he returned from an injury that he suffered, an upper body injury against the Vegas Golden Knights. But it appears he's finding his legs, and he's finding that fifth gear. See him join the play on the offensive rush. A great goal the other night in the shootout. He looks to be more himself. And that's really good news for us moving forward, because there was some lacking in 77's play. Ryan McDonough had been picking up the slack for us, but still, you need your Norris Trophy winning defenseman to be a big part of this thing as we get into the 2019 portion of this season. Another big note, and we'll talk about this next week. Thank you, St. Paul, for the breath there. I need it. Braden Point, the negotiations for his contract, well, you've got yourself a landmark deal. William Nylander, the aforementioned Toronto Maple Leaf, who was negotiating interminably with Toronto on either a bridge deal or whatever he was going to sign, he finally reached an agreement last week with the Maple Leafs on a six-year, $6.9 million deal to remain in Toronto. Well, that's an important deal to set precedent for Braden Point's contract. We will go in-depth on that economics topic next week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, as there's also stuff to consider with the salary cap and looking at where we are financially speaking. Good news this week from the NHL. Seattle is joining the league. That'll be the start of the 2021 season, and they will be the 32nd group, 32nd franchise to join the NHL. They'll have a natural rivalry, if I could say that word, rivalry, with Vancouver. That should be a lot of fun. And Gary Bettman projects that the salary cap will move up from the upper 70s, I think 79 and change, 79 and a half this year, to about $83 million next year. Not enough for Toronto to settle all of its outstanding contracts and negotiations, but I think it will be enough room for us. Again, more on that next week. Before we go this week, some thoughts on Nikita Kucherov, who has 24 points in his last 11 games. He didn't register a point on Tuesday against Detroit, but he did score the all-important deciding goal in the shootout to get us that second point, and Eddie Pasquale is now a 1-0, an undefeated goaltender in the NHL. Nikita Kucherov is playing at an all-time level in terms of his confidence. You can see that. The one thing I would say is he's drawing too many penalties. I think it's eight penalty minutes, so four different infractions in the last five, six games. He's a little bit overzealous, and a little bit, when he gets frustrated, he gets a little bit lazy, stick penalties. And that's unfortunate. That's the one minor negative, but it's been a largely positive couple of weeks. In fact, pretty much since the beginning of November for Nikita. 24 points, like I said, in 11 games, and he didn't even score an official point this past Tuesday. But what I've seen out of him is what I've seen out of a lot of our players, and that is a commitment to back-checking. Steven Stamkos does a great job of this, but Nikita Kucherov is back-checking his butt off, and he's made three or four plays that you would see Braden Point make and always nod your head and say, well, that's just what 21 does. If the superstars on this team are doing as much as Braden Point, who is also a superstar, but if the scorers on this team are doing that, the finesse players, the message is clearly resonating. We are trying to play a 200-foot game as a team right now, and we're succeeding in that. While we don't have the goaltending where it needs to be, Andre's going to be back. It looks like everything else, team camaraderie, commitment to playing in all three zones, the ability to fight through adversity, two, three-goal deficits, it's all there. And it's really exciting for us. A big week on the ice. We'll see how many points we can pick up over the next eight. But I think we're going to learn a lot about ourselves as you're going to face some hungry teams who can do something about it and play us tough. Should be a really entertaining week on the ice. And stay tuned right now to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast for some bonus Buccaneers material if you feel so inclined. But that wraps up this edition of what has been an eventful week. Again, next week we'll talk about all of those games that we took in. But we're also going to talk about some specifics in terms of Braden Point's contract and where the Lightning stand moving forward. It should be really fun. We're approaching the holidays. I hope the holiday season is treating you all well out there. And of course, if a car purchase is on the docket, Bill Curry Ford is the place to go. Now, stay tuned for just a moment from now when I begin talking about Buccaneers football on the eve, so to speak, of the Saints game coming up this Sunday. Bonus materials. Okay. Yeah, I know this is not supposed to be my forte, but I'm a Bucs fan. I have been just as long as I've been a Lightning fan. The only out-of-town team I really like are the Mets, and that's because the Rays didn't exist until too late in my life. But we used to talk about the Buccaneers right here on JoeBucsFan.com on a program called The Scuttle Bucks, myself and Jeff Cameron. And while I wasn't asked to do this, and I might get in trouble for it, before I talk about the Buccaneers, let me remark that if you want the best in Buccaneers coverage, you've come to the right place, obviously, at JoeBucsFan.com, but the podcasts here at JoeBucsFan.com are so much better than local radio in Tampa. It's insane. The Ira Kaufman podcast with the Joes, Pawlowski's podcast, you've got all kinds of material here at JoeBucksFan.com. And this podcasting network is a group I'm proud to be a part of. But this weekend, I just figured I'd chime in on a couple of things I've seen. And the first thing is the defensive line play for the Buccaneers. It reminds me of watching us in the golden age. It really does. This past weekend, I'd forgotten what it was like to get good defensive line play, especially when it comes to affecting the passer. We all know the stats. Lee, my good friend here at JoeBucksFan.com, has cited it ad nauseum. 4 years. We have not had a 10-plus sack performance from any individual in any season since Simeon freaking Rice. How does that happen? It's over now. JPP got that done. But it's about more than that. It really is. There were times this past Sunday against Carolina where you saw all four of those defensive linemen closing in the pocket, collapsing the pocket, while maintaining their rush lanes like it was a vice grip. All four of them in unison, winning their battles. G-Mac, likely the one who draws the double teams in most of those situations. But they're collapsing the pocket around Cam Newton, and he looks flustered. And I love seeing quarterbacks flustered, and it's been so damn long since we've seen that at Raymond James Stadium or anywhere in the NFL where our team has traveled. It reminded me what it was like to watch Booger McFarland, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice, Chidi Ahanotu, Spires. It's like a throwback Sunday. We're not going to give up a ton of yards. Defense is not good enough in terms of the raw yardage department to shut somebody down to the tune of 350 yards or fewer per game. That's just not going to happen. But if we can affect the quarterback to the point where you hit him on a couple of throws, or you create pressure, not just on the edges, but also the interior, that offensive line is collapsing in front of the quarterback, you've got yourself a chance against Drew Brees this weekend for two reasons. Number one, he's not nearly as mobile as Cam Newton. We all know that. But number two, in his career, if you watch Drew play, he doesn't care nearly as much about pressure on the perimeter as he does pressure up the middle. And we all know why that is. He's not tall enough to see over the middle, especially if the objects in front of him get larger, meaning the D tackles are winning. I think we've got a fair chance of winning this game. I saw the report on JoeBucksFan.com yesterday that Michael Thomas was held out of practice. Brent Grimes looks to be coming back. But, I mean, the combination of the aggressive way we're playing, the inspiration the defensive line is playing with, thanks in large part to Pierre Paul, who's much more of a leader than Gerald McCoy is. Not talking about talent, just talking about leader. JPP is, man, he's got those guys rolling. You've got yourself a chance on defense to make some splash plays. And if offensively speaking, Jameis stops turning the ball over, which he's done the last couple of weeks, I mean, this offense is really explosive if it gets out of its own way. At the very minimum, you should be flipping the field most every possession, if not putting yourself in scoring range. That pass defense for New Orleans is garbage. The worry I have is about the right side of the offensive line. Right guard is, that's our biggest weakness on offense. There is no question about that. Right tackle, eh. The left side of the offensive line and center, you're going to win your fair share of battles. But you can't really run against the New Orleans defensive front. You're going to have to count on Jameis running the football just like he did last weekend against Carolina, and maybe he can. But you're going to have to get the ball down the field. And the good news is Eli Apple's confidence has to be at an all-time low. P.J. Williams isn't that great right now. That secondary is vulnerable, and Jameis looks to be in complete rhythm with all of his receivers. And one final note on Jameis before the bonus features end this week. His demeanor, it's completely changed. Knowing a little something about Jameis and the inner workings of Jameis camp through talking with Jeff Cameron for all these years up in Tallahassee, I might know a thing or two behind the scenes about how that machine works and where his head is at, obviously being here in Tallahassee for his college career as well. I have never seen an expression in my life like the one he sported in the second half against Cleveland and then against Cincinnati. When he made mistakes, it was either out of arrogance or carelessness. Except that Cleveland and Cincinnati game, you saw a lost expression in his eyes. Deer in the headlights. He didn't know what he was seeing. Typically, he sees the entire field so well that when he errs, it's because he's taking an unnecessary risk. But he always sees the field. Not in that case. And so you worried, much like a kicker, is his confidence gone for good? And the answer, he's come back with a resounding no. Hell to the no. my confidence, my resolve, it's all here. And his demeanor with the media, his demeanor on the field, all of it looks so much more calm. It looks so much more in command. He's channeling his emotional energy into a place where he's not taking unnecessary chances, and you can see the confidence oozing out of his play. It's a pleasure to watch, and another reason we have a chance. He's a quarterback right now, who can go win you a game. It's a constant growing process, but you don't give up on that kind of talent. That's crazy person talk. You do not give up on that type of talent, especially when he's under team control for next season and then with a franchise tag for the next 2 years after that. That would be crazy person talk. So I'll be in the building this weekend for Bucks and Saints. I look forward to that one. And while I don't think we have a better than 50% chance of winning the game, some of these factors, the way our defensive line's playing, the fact that we're winning turnover battles, we're making splash plays, we're doing much better in the red zone, all of these things add up to giving us more than a puncher's chance. And it's exciting, man. So thanks for listening this week to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with the bonus features of Tampa Bay Buccaneers coverage. We'll talk to you next Friday. That would be December the 14th as the holiday season closes. And happy Hanukkah to all those who celebrated. And obviously, Merry Christmas is on the way, folks. All right, we'll talk to you next week.